Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. I love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hey, everybody. This is Angel and Joe, and we're back with another Mailbag Monday podcast.
Remember, everybody, that you can submit your questions by direct messaging us on Facebook or Instagram, or you can email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com. Just type podcast question on the subject line.
So let's go ahead and jump in and look at some of the questions that we've gotten. My husband seems to think that when he comes home, his work is done. We both have jobs, but when I get home, I basically do most of the work around the house. His job is really physical, and I'm sure that is part of the reason why he feels he deserves to come home and sit. But I need help. I don't want to nag, but he doesn't even see it. It's hard to get someone to change, especially when they don't see an issue. Hashtag clueless.
That's me. That was me one time. I was that way. I remember when I was young, when I went to school, we only had one guy in school whose mother worked. Every other mom in my school, in my high school, all the moms stayed at home. The dads all went to work, and we had big factories in Chattanooga, and they all worked. But that began to change, you know. I got married, and my wife worked, and we were both working. Worked good jobs, both of us, 5 years. But then we had our first baby, and I realized, you know, mom stays home with the baby, and I'm working. And so, man, money got kind of tight, and I got used to having that other paycheck. That was nice. And there were some things we had to go through having to believe God for more. But then after you have two or three kids, God was blessing me, and I was being promoted. But then I'd come home, and so my wife's been taking care of kids all day, and I've done that where I've gone in and ate dinner, and my wife's had to come home and get everything ready, and she's cooked and get the kids ready and find out how things went at school and ask the questions and get the kitchen cleaned up, put the food away, wash the dishes, get the kids prepared for bed, have them take a bath, get the clothes laid out for the next morning, pack the school lunch. I remember I'd go and lay down and take a nap on the couch, watch Monday Night Football, get up, have another piece of pecan pie, take another nap, and, you know, I'm ready to play kissy face about 11. And that didn't happen. You know, we kind of had a wake-up call. So
no kissy face.
Yeah, no kissy face, man. Lord. And so what you have to do, you're going to have to just be up front and just stay real calm and say, you know, we're going to have to. I remember the time my first wife got mad one day. And we were just dropping babies like rainwater. She said, she got mad at me. She said, Joe, I want a job description from you, because we got kind of mouthed about, well, I think that's your job. Well, I think that's your job. Well, I think that's your job, you know. And so she said, I want a job description from you. I thought, well, bless God, I'll get you one. I probably should have got one 12 years ago when we got married. So I went to my office, and I got out my concordance, and I started looking up things that women were to do and men were to do and women were to do. And so she came in about 30 minutes later and said, Joe, you got my job description yet? I said, I'm working on it. Well, it took 3 days. I remember I walked into the kitchen about 3 days later, and we, you know, she never held anything against me. We stayed pretty calm. But I said, honey, I need to tell you something. I said, I forget that job description. She said, well, can't you find anything? So, well, I did find some things. The problem is I keep running into mine. Mine has gotten so detailed. I will never get around to getting to yours. And I was very serious about it. And I realized that a man's responsibilities are huge. And so there's several scriptures we went through. And I remember we had a seminar one time, marriage seminar, and we had four kids. We had three. My wife was pregnant with our fourth child. And so it was a three-day seminar on marriage. We're at this college university, and a lady professor was teaching the Saturday morning session. Her session was about sex and marriage. I thought, well, I think I got this figured out, but maybe I learned something new. So she comes out on the platform. It's a 50-minute class. 1,200 people are packed in the auditorium, and she walks out, and she says these words. She opened up with this statement. She said, dishes, diapers, dinner, and sex. One's about as much fun as the other. I leaned over to my wife and said, what's she talking about? And my wife said, shut up. You're about to learn something. And so for the next 50 minutes, she talked about how women do what they have to do. Men do what they want to do. And so that was this. And so we're walking out, and my wife said, now, Joe, let me explain what you just learned in case you didn't get it. She said, if you want me to play Kissy Face at 11, I need you in the kitchen with an apron on at 7. And it took a year and a half for me to change. Now, I didn't become a perfect husband, but I did change. I realized that my wife had become a housewife. And my house didn't need a wife. I needed a wife. My house had stole my wife. I got to get my wife back. So I'm going to have to become part of the household, what's happening. And so believe it or not, guys, I had me a custom apron made, a male apron made out of canvas. Matter of fact, I'm looking at one here in the studio today that says, let's play Kissy Face on the front of it. And so I started doing things around the house. Now, it took time to get it away from my wife, but it took about a year and a half, and I did. So I basically gave the house to my kids. Everybody's going to start doing something. I'm going to teach you how to wash clothes and run a dryer and a washing machine and a dishwasher. If you can run a computer, you can run a dishwasher. You know, it's not that complicated. And so I realized my job's the house. I come home from work tired like everybody else. Whether you physical work, mental work, it doesn't matter. Everybody's tired. Everybody's got a reason. I've been around people in my family that work mental, hard jobs mentally, wore out. Hard jobs physically, wore out. Same, work's work. It's a four-letter word and it's hard. But when you're married, you're an equal partner. And it's not 50-50, it's 100-100. And so I tell men all the time, I say, guys, you come home. I say, honey, what can I do for you? What do you need?
Well, I realized when I had a child, I had my son at 5:15 on Friday, and I was back at work on Monday morning. So our lives were very busy. That we didn't have any options because we were the business.
Yes.
And so I realized, I mean, I didn't breastfeed. I just couldn't.
Yep.
And what I realized was that my spouse was much more involved, and we started a pattern right there. Sometimes I think you get into patterns, and it's like, okay, the husband could have been involved right away, but you breastfed and everything else, and by the time he could get more involved, you've already developed a pattern.
Yeah.
And you're already taking a large part of that responsibility. So sometimes, you know, we just by just habit or whatever, we just get ourselves into a pattern. So sometimes you just need to sit down and say, hey, this is, let's have a come to Jesus meeting here.
Yeah, this isn't working. This current situation is not working.
So, I mean, because I tried, like with my son one time, I said, I'm going to not clean up his room till it's so bad he will clean it up. And it was horrible. You just walk past there and about gag. It smelled so bad. And there's piles of clothes everywhere, trash everywhere. And I go into him. He's about 13. I said, he's playing a video game. I go, does this not bother you? He kind of looks around. He goes, no, not really. So I realized that didn't work.
Yep.
That is not going to work. So
got my man cage just like I want it, man. Woman, get out of here. What are you doing to
the
me?
The smell's keeping you away. I like it. So anyway, I think if you just sit down and say, here's a list. Can you be responsible for these? And then if he does have a physical labor job, then don't be on him the second he comes home to do it. Because he does need some downtime.
Give him a little space.
I remember my daughter, I had this very mentally stressful job, and I was working 10-hour days. And my daughter would get home from school early, and then she'd have about an hour by herself before I'd get home. And then she would greet me at the door with singing Broadway musicals. And I would say, Nicole, I can't handle it. I cannot handle it. I need some downtime. You just got to give me an hour, 30 minutes.
Yep.
So then she went, finally got her first job. She came home that day and goes, I get it now. So, I mean, give him some time. Do it. Let him do it in his time frame. Not a year, but just say, you know, by the end of the week, can we get this stuff done? You know, and then just start. And don't expect results overnight.
No, but it is good to sometime just individually, both spouses need to sit down like, and have your own list. Just don't tell anybody. Don't tell your spouse. Just, man, I could sure use some help here, 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 and here. And so if I ever get on a game show, what are the top three things you need out of your spouse? I need these. I've written them on a list, and I've been meditating on them for some time. I just need these three things for them to help me do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not critical. It's not all up, but man, these three would really make a difference in my life.
Yeah.
Could you help the kids get ready for the bed? Could you do one load of laundry? Could you just wash the towels and restock them in the bathroom? Just basic stuff. Could you just take the trash out so I don't have to do that? And just come up some kind of agreement. And it's going to be different for every couple, but there's got to be an agreement where you can't sit there thinking, man, my spouse isn't doing anything, because they think they are.
Yeah, and then
everybody thinks they're just busting their backside to get stuff done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can't just attack them. You got to just kind of – you got to be like an ambassador to a foreign country. You know they hate your guts. You hate theirs, but we're going to have to learn how to talk now. Hey, have a cup of coffee. We need to visit.
And since we're on the subject, I did want to talk to you about vacuuming.
That's later. Put that later. Next program.
All right. So the next question is, how do you instill the fear of God into your children? I've heard people talk about instilling the fear of God in their children, but I probably don't understand exactly what that is, let alone teach it to my kids.
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, a couple things. I wanted all my kids to be wise. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get yourself some, Proverbs 4:7. James says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. He will give it liberally and upbraideth not. Well, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So I didn't want stupid kids or lazy kids. I wanted wise kids. There's four kinds of children in Proverbs. Just in Proverbs alone, there are wise children, simple-minded children, foolish children, and scornful children. Nothing good happens to the last three. Simple-minded, fools, and scorners do not live good lives. They don't live healthy lives. They don't live prosperous lives. Only a wise child lives a long time, can still scale the wall of a city, take it captive, have honor of the king and their boss. I wanted wise kids. So a couple things I do. I said I'd start just by praying, Father, every day. I prayed it this morning. Father, I ask you, teach my children to fear you. Psalm 34:11 says, come to me, children, and I will teach you the fear of God. God said, if you'll ask me, I'll teach them. Well, Father, please teach my children to fear you, for the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1:7. I don't want to have ignorant kids. I want to have foolish kids. I want wise, knowledgeable kids. So how are they going to get that? They need to fear God. So first thing, you just pray it. Then the second thing, you need to kind of share it from time to time, you know. And so I'd have my kids, and we always did this. I don't close my eyes when I pray. The Bible says, you know, watch and pray. So I pray over my kids going to school in the morning. Father, we'd be driving. They'd be doing homework or talking. I said, Father, I give you permission. Teach my children to fear you, for the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. With that wisdom comes long life, riches, and honor. I want my kids to live a really long life. If Jesus tarries, you're coming to my funeral. I'm not coming to yours. Riches. I want my kids to be wealthy. You know, the wealth of the wicked is laid for the just. I want you to be, I don't want to have to take care of you all your life. I eventually want you to get out of my house, make your own money, because parents lay it for the children, children lay it for the parents. And I told my kids, you owe me. Good measure, pressed down. You owe me. I mean, I birthed you, bathed you, fixed your crooked teeth. And so the things that come with the fear of God are just really beneficial. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge. So first thing you do, you pray it, but then they need to hear you say it. Lord, honey, I'm standing. I believe God. You're going to fear God. You're going to have wisdom. You're going to fear God. It's a good thing to fear God. It's not the scary horror movie. Oh, not that kind of fear. The fear of God is an incredible thing. It brings long life. It brings riches. It brings honor. The fear of God is one big gift under your Christmas tree. It is good to fear God.
I think a better word instead of fear of God in our society would be to honor and respect.
Yes.
And the, like you said, the best way to teach that is by example.
Yes.
I mean, like, I think that, you kids do, I mean, you duplicate what you are.
Yes.
And, if you respect and honor God and put Him first and foremost in your life and in your family, then your children will naturally, respect and honor Him as well. And so, I mean, you know, when I hear that statement, the fear of God, I mean, I was raised in church and, you know, I was raised where you
– we're going to scare you to the altar.
Yes,
we're going to scare you down
there. Oh, I got saved so many times you can't even imagine. And, I mean, it felt like you had one foot in hell and the other in a banana peel, you know. Yeah. I mean, I remember going through the mall one time and I couldn't find my mom and I was sure the rapture had taken place. And I said,
I said
to my friend, let's call Sister C. Scholes, because she was the big praying woman at our church. And if she answers the phone, we'll know the rapture didn't take place. And you don't want that kind of fear. Although a little bit of I want to avoid hell is not a bad thing, but it's to respect and honor and to make him the number one priority
thing
in your life.
Number one thing. What is good though, and you mentioned it, your kids need to hear you say it. Father, I give you permission, teach us to fear you, and they'd hear me pray it. Lord, thank you for teaching me to fear you, Father. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. I want lots of wisdom, lots of knowledge. I want to be a prosperous, long-living individual. And that starts with the fear of God, or reverencing the office of God. It's not the horror movie fear. It's a good kind of fear.
Yeah. All right. So the next question is, I want to make my wife happy, but her spending is out of control. As a guy, I want to give her the world, but I also don't want her to have to do retail therapy to be happy. Between Amazon and her taking her friends out to eat, we can't ever get ahead. I'm trying to walk that line between keeping my wife happy and maybe being able to retire someday. I know that guys do the same thing sometimes, but how do you address this in a way that is loving yet forceful that this has to stop?
That's a very good question. Everybody's dealing with it. Everybody's dealing with that. I did a research one time. The government pays for all sorts of researches and resources. So I did a research one time, and I found out, according to the federal government, 97% of all American homes have no working budget. They don't know how much they own. They don't know how much they earn. They don't know where their money's going. They just know they're broke and they need more money. We are the wealthiest nation on the face of the planet, and we are the most indebted nation on the face of the planet, because we don't monitor what we got. So God's have got a stewardship. Tells the story. Jesus tells the story. I went away. A guy went away on a trip, put three men in charge of his ranch. You're in charge of 5 seconds. You're in charge of two. You're in charge of one. Jesus says the man finally comes back from his long trip. What'd you do with my 5 seconds of ranch? Well, I worked it really good. I made so much money off of it. I irrigated. I fertilized. I made so much money off those 5 sections, Master. I bought you 5 more producing sections of land. And he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many. The guy with 2 doubled to 4. And God said the same thing. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. The guy with 1 didn't do anything with it. And the Lord's telling the story. Jesus is telling the story. And he says, you wicked and lazy servant. You should have at least cashed in that land, put it in the bank. I should be able to draw interest. God expects us to produce, change, be responsible of our lives. And so anybody gets married, first thing you're going to fight about is money, because men see money as freedom. Women see money as security. And so I tell every couple, you ought to have a budget. It needs to be on a kitchen wall or on the front of the refrigerator. Here's how much money we have this month. Here's where the bills are going. Here's where the house payment is. Here's where this is. And the first thing you're going to do is get a file. My God, we need more money. Everybody needs more money. I've never met a person in my life. I've met millionaires, met 1 billionaire. Everybody needs more money. How are you going to get it? Well, number one, you got to start believing God for it. You got to sow some seed for it. You got to make yourself more valuable to your employer if you're employed. And so you're going to have to sit down and realize you're going to have to talk. Honey, you can't just spend every dime that came into your hand. That's not yours. You just spent the rent money. You just spent the house payment. You just spent the car payment. You spent our health insurance money. You just spent the tuition for the kids. Now, how am I going to – kids going to have to move home now because they can't stay in college. You just spent their college tuition money. I mean, you can't do that. And so that's just somebody that does that. They're not evil. They weren't trained by their parents.
Yeah.
They just thought it's normal. No, it's not normal. Real adults are responsible of everything they have. And if you're responsible for it, God will increase it. I'm not trying to take money away from you. I'm not trying to restrict your life. I'm trying to tell you, here's where we are. Let's get in agreement and believe God for favor, for increase, for doors of opportunity, for raises and bonuses. Let's start believing God, not just spend the whole thing dry.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that you said that was interesting to me in the question was, I want my wife to be happy. Purchasing things is not going to make her happy.
Nope, never will.
I mean, it may be trying to fill a void of something, but that's just a never-ending cycle.
It's a dog chasing its tail, and if you catch it, it's going to hurt.
Yeah, it is. And so I think as the man of the house, yeah, I think it's your responsibility to say, hey, I love you, and you can buy some, and here's your budget for the month. Maybe get her her own little prepaid card.
Sure.
That this is the amount that you got, and when it's over.
Hey, hon, we got an extra $17.28. Here's a card with that money on it. Have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You got $3 four times on this.
Yeah.
Just get that single dollar burger, and you'll be good.
I mean, whatever it is. Whatever it is. If it's $200, $500, whatever
but
it is.
But you have to start.
Yeah, you have to start somewhere where you say, you know, we're adults now. This isn't
yes.
You're not her father.
Yeah.
You're her spouse. And so this is something that you guys need to come to agreement on together.
Well, we raised dogs for years, and we had basset hounds, and we were raising money, and we were really good. We loved our animals. And so but I remember a time, you know, one of our dogs would have pups, and you know they usually drop probably about 10 or 12 puppies, and they're down at the kennels and make sure that we had good vets. We took care of them really good. And so all of a sudden, moms, they're down there nursing. Mom, her belly fills up with milk, and so they're all got something to suck on. So they're all just happy. And one day that milk dries up.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids would always get bent out of shape. We'd be laying in the bed at night, and we live in this big old barn house, and all of a sudden you could hear some pup down there at that kennel.
Right.
Then what's wrong? I said, well, that pup tried to latch back onto mama's nipple. Her milk's dried up, and he now has teeth. He's supposed to be eating meat, but he won't eat the meat because he's offended. The first time you take the big old plate of meat down that, man, the dogs love it, but there's always one dog, usually the runt. I'm not eating that skanky stuff. I want mama's milk. And you realize the milk's dried up, big boy. And I said, well, Dad, what are we going to do with it? Well, don't worry, sugar. In about 3 days, he's going to turn to a bear, and he'll eat that meat. He will eat that meat. But if there's not a demand, and most of us say, I can do this. No, you can't. There's a limit as to how much milk there is right there in mama. There's a limit. And so people just don't like growing up. It is just the strangest thing. But you're going to have to sit down very kindly, and put it on the wall somewhere. Hey, honey, here's how much money we have this month. And we should have talked about more when we were dating, I guess, before we got married. Because people get married for the weirdest reasons. They think, well, it's going to be like Santa Claus stuck upside down. No, if you do believe in Santa Claus, he only comes once a year. And so what are you going to do the other 300-something days a year? You have to sit down and just get real
right.
detail.
Yep, that's true.
Well, that wraps up this week's podcast. Remember to get those questions in by direct messaging us on Facebook or Instagram, or just sending your questions in to mail@JoeMcGeeMinistries.com.
Hey, thanks everybody for the great questions. Make sure to tell your friends about the podcast so they can get blessed too. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be right here.
We love you guys.